Every year, Parshas Chayesara, my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Willing, Shlita, would speak about choosing a wife. Every year, Parshas Chayesara was very well known. He would give his Chayesara shir. People would crowd into the room to always hear what he would have to say. Again, I'm just running near the end of my topic, so please feel free to text me or email me topics that you'd like to hear me speak about. This week, I'd like to speak about choosing a wife. It's not Chayesara, but Chayesara passed already. What should one look for in a wife? You all know that Avram Avinu took the issue of finding a wife for his daughter Yitzchak very, very seriously. I mean, his trusted servant, the Torah goes out of its way to say that he was Zakan Beisoha, Moshel B'chol HaShalom. He was the person who Eliezer had all the trust in the world in Eliezer. Avram Avinu had all the trust in the world in Eliezer, and yet he made him swear. About nothing else do you find Avram making Eliezer swear, but about this, about who you're gonna take for a wife for my son, that he made him swear, which is really incredible if you think about it. And he was very careful where he wanted her to take a wife from. And there's a well-known comment of the Drashas Haran, which I'm not going to go into in detail. Basically, the Drashas Haran is bothered by the Kasha. I mean, the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael were over the Avodah Zarah. And Lavan and Besuel, sending them back to Haran, they were also over the Avodah Zarah. So why did he send them back to Lavan and Besuel? So the Drashas Haran says something that Deos don't go Birusha. Just because the parents were Ovdei Avodah Zarah doesn't necessarily mean that the children will be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But Midos, generally speaking, go Birusha. That's what the Midos come from, the genes. Deos, the mind, philosophies can change from parent to child very easily. But Midos often get passed on from parent to child. And therefore, Avram Avinu wanted to make sure that Eliezer was at least getting somebody, that Eliezer was choosing for Yitzchak, someone who came from his hometown of Haran, where he knew the people, even if they were idol worshippers, they were pagans, but in Midos, you know, Eretz Yisrael, it says in the Chumash, K'masei Eretz Yitzvayim, Asher Yisavdim Ba'lo Sasu, K'masei Eretz Kanan, Asher Ani Mevei Yitzchem Shama, V'chukoseim Lo Selechu, that they were known to be disgusting people, the people of Canaan at the time. So he didn't want him taking people with bad Bali Midos. He wanted to make sure he would go home to find people who had better Midos. That's what the Drash Laran says. What does it mean that Lavan and Besuel had such good Midos? That's a good question. I mean, they were known to be robbers. They were thieves, right? They weren't so honest. Lavan wasn't such an honest guy. So what does that mean that he had good Midos? It's a kasha on the Drash Laran. There's a lot we could talk about it, what it means, but that's what the Drash Laran says. That so the most important thing to look for in a spouse is somebody who has good midos, who's a giving person. And the reason for that is that the most important quality in marriage, on both sides, you got to have good midos and your wife has to have good midos. Because the most important trait for a good marriage is always putting the other person's needs first, always being mevater on things and not looking in a relationship for things that are your own. Always put the other person's needs first. Always, in every situation that comes up, say, well, what does my wife want? What does my wife need? But in order to have peace in the home, which is so crucial to a life that will be productive and successful, is the quality of people who always put other people's needs first, of humility, of always looking for the other person's needs first. That when we live in a generation where, when we in all the media and all everything that we see around us, when I was growing up, they called it the me generation. Now they call it the entitlement, the entitled generation. Whatever you call it, it's all the same business. People who are only focused on themselves. And marriage is about exactly the opposite. On both sides, it's the ultimate example, it's the ultimate relationship of where, you know, the test of always putting the other person's needs first. Now, the second point to add to this, I remember very clearly discussing with Rabbi Willig one time when he always deals with all kinds of horrible family issues, divorce, and other kinds of things. And one time I remember I was in the shir and he was going through a particularly difficult time. And I had the kind of relationship that I could ask him these questions. I was blessed with that, but I just said something to the effect of, you know, I didn't say it like this. I don't remember exactly the words I used, but I said something to the Rebbe like, so what has Rebbe learned from this situation? In other words, it was like a period of like a month where Rabbi Willard would come to shir every day, like just down. He was upset, and he was just dealing with horrible things. You could tell he was just preoccupied. So it was just a rough time, and he was just dealing with. So he said, "I learned. I never used to think that Yichus made such a big deal in America. I always used to think that, you know, just if the people themselves were good people, so you could go into it. But what I learned is that from these situations, I learned that, you know, that it's not only important to look at the girl, it's important to look at the girl and the girl's parents also." I'm simplifying a lot. But basically, you see this in the Drash Ran also. That's what the Drash Ran said, that he wanted to send them back there because Midos go in the generations. That's what the Ran says. He sent them back to Lavan and Basul because he felt that, at least there, the Midos, he knew the Midos of his generation, of the parents, hopefully that went down to the kids. That's what the Ran is saying. So the Midos make a difference. If a person grows up in a house where the Midos are good, where people are, again, more than the Deos, that's what the Ran says. People are not so frum, that's not such a big deal. But if people are not such Bali Midos, that is a big deal, because that gets transferred, that goes down. Frum Kai, you could learn. People are ignorant, and people learn, and you could learn. That's something you could pick up. That's not necessarily an indication, but Midos is really part of your genetic makeup, and so that's something that has to be really checked out. I've been dealing with some situations also where sometimes if there's a very strong personality amongst one of the parents, or sometimes it reflects itself the opposite way in the younger generations. It's difficult to know. I don't want to get into too many details, but just suffice it to say, klalim, in 20 minutes, again, as those of you who are new to this will know, 20 minutes is never enough to communicate anything about anything. So I give my one disclaimer at the beginning, I'm not going to be able to go into the whole thing in 20 minutes. So now you know I said it, I'm not going to say it again. But point number one, good midos. Point number two, a family that was a supportive family. And the family has midos, that's also important. And I think the third thing, which is really very, very important as well, is someone who is always going to push you in your ruchnius. Someone who's going to push you in your spiritual growth. Someone who is, even in many cases, a role model to you. I know in my case, so the fact that my wife had certain tremendous midos in certain areas was a very big example for me and a very big chizuk for me and improved me. Just my relationship with her, beginning to meet my wife, I saw myself improving in so many of the areas that I was lacking in. And she still even agreed to go out with me. She still even agreed to marry me. That's the way I sometimes magdir it, that the best girl who's willing to marry me, even though I'm such a bum. So that's the way. But the issue is that this relationship is going to have a tremendous impact on your ability to continue to grow spiritually throughout your life. More than any relationship, more than a relationship with a Rebbe, in 90% of the cases. This relationship is going to define your spiritual growth. You know? And to the degree that the person who you marry shares your vision for spiritual growth for a lifetime dedicated to spiritual growth, and even more than shares it, will be someone who you feel can inspire you to be better in every area, to learn more, to be a bigger Baal Chesed, to be more involved in the community, to grow. This is, these things are the most crucial. The Midos, the family, again, less, the two main ones are the Midos and the pushing to grow. Humility, chief among all good Midos. Anyone who knows me, I always say humility is the most important of all the Midos, so humility / midos, spiritual, someone who's going to inspire you and push you spiritually, and subset, you know, of that, you know, subset of the first one is a sense of, you know, that the family also shares these values. That's certainly in terms of the midos, that's very, very important. Now, clearly, it's also very important that you enjoy each other's company. I assume that should go without saying, that you look forward to the times that you spend together, that you be attracted to each other. All of this is part of the same kind of thing. I think that looks are certainly also very, very important. That is also a very big part of it. The Gemara says, according to some opinions, Ein Isha Ela Liyofi, that the Torah does view the fact that a man thinks that his wife is beautiful as a very, very important idea. The Gemara says that in Maseches Ksubos on Daf Nun Tes. It's actually one opinion. One opinion says, what malachas are a woman supposed to do for her husband? It's supposed to do X, Y, and Z. And then the other opinion disagrees. No, she shouldn't do anything. Ein Isha Ela Liyofi. That's what the Gemara seems to present over there. Again, not the time to go all the way into all the explanations of that Gemara, but on its very basic idea that certainly the physical attraction is important. However, you got to realize that over time, people change and marriages are supposed to last, as Hashem, 100 years. So if you're going into it for the physical attraction, things change and beauty is in the eyes of the beholder very, very much. And the real attraction that comes in a marriage as time goes on, in the beginning, the physical attraction probably plays more of a role. But as time goes on, when you build a relationship with somebody, so the attraction and the love and the bond is through the person. It's through the person. Who the person is through the shared experiences. It's through sacrificing for one another. So, you know, you can't put too much emphasis on that because physical attraction is fleeting. And when you got to have somebody that you're willing to wake up in the morning in the bed next to. You know, when the person doesn't look their best. And over time, like I said, things change. You can't rely on that. So, I also so noticed, being Ma'aviv Sedra last week in Parshas Truma, the Rashi says that the reason why the outer part of the Mishkan was longer, because Rashi Mikan, it quotes from the Bryce, I think, in Maseches Midos, that Shomrim Davar Yafeh, something that's beautiful, you're supposed to watch over. Yiddishkeit does believe in things that are beautiful. There's value in that. By the Mishkan, the fact that it was beautiful, so that showed a certain holiness to Rabbeinu Shlomo and Eini Shel Yofi. So it seems that there is a point to that. That there is a point to that every husband should think that his wife is beautiful, 100%. But there's beauty on the outside. There's beauty on the inside. And as time goes on in a marriage, you'll come to appreciate and value and treasure much more the beauty on the inside than the beauty on the outside. But that's also important. Attraction is important too. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Ayin, the Gemara talks about all the horrible things about Hanosei Isha L'Shem Mamon, people who marry for money. The Gemara says Hanosei Isha L'Shem Mamon, he who marries a girl because of her money, Havelo Banim She'ena Mehuganim, he's going to have bad children. That's what the Gemara says. If you marry a woman for money, you're going to have kids who are Eina Mehuganim, not inappropriate. The Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta talks about if you marry a woman for kavod, you can end up losing the kavod. If the Gemara says there, if you marry a woman for money, so you're going to lose all your money and she's going to lose all her money. That's what the Gemara says. Within a month. That's what the Gemara says. Not long term. Within a month, you're all going to be out of the money. That's what the Gemara says. It's very, very strange. I can't understand how we see so often this happening. Where, like, that's actually what's discussed in the Shiduchim, that people are discussing. I think in the yeshivish world, it's a little bit more prevalent. But not only in the yeshivish world, where Shiduchim are made based on how much money people are going to be to put in. All right, so you could say in some cases, it's not really about the money, it's really about the learning, but the money is just to support the learning. I don't know. I really rubs me the wrong way when people start to talk about, you know, these kinds of issues, and you see it a lot. I don't understand it. It's against the Gemara Mefurish, it's against Maseches Derech, the Mishnah and the Braisa and Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta. I can't understand how people, you know, look for this and people are interested in this, and this is You gotta. The Gemara knows what it's talking about, where it says if you marry for money, it's a very bad thing. I don't care if you think, you know, your life's going to be easier. Marba nechasa, marba daiga. Oftentimes, you marry for money, your life is more complicated. My Rabbi Schechter liked to say all the time, by the people who sit and learn very, very long term. Yeah, the Yechidei Skula, they should be sitting and learning and sitting in Kolol maybe for a very long time. Yechidei Skula. But most people that are sitting and learning and being supported by their father-in-laws, he used to say, it's a chisarin and kili b'nei Yisrael avadim v'lo avadim l'avadim. Because if you're going to sit and learn for a long time and be supported by a father-in-law, you're not going to be able to make your own decisions. You can't decide where you're going to live. You can't decide what apartment to live in. You can't decide where you're going to send your own kids to school because you're not paying any of your own bills. You're not making any of your own money. You can't make any decisions. So there's a lot of problems with just sitting and being supported, marrying a girl for the money because you feel like I'm not going to have to work. I'll be able to learn. I'll be able to do other things. I'm not saying you can't ever take anything from in-laws, you know, until you graduate school, through the early times. So that's become pretty much accepted that people are going to support people. I was very mocked, but I never took a penny from anybody because I wanted to be able to make my own decisions. I was going to always make my own money and work. And I don't know, the whole concept that we have nowadays of people getting married very, very early and expecting to be supported long-term for things, again, if people are willing to do that, and so in certain cases it could work. It could work very nicely. I'm not saying it can never work, but I think that I tell people generally not to even think about wanting to go out till you're 21, 22, till you can at least see the derech towards making your own parnasa. I think that this idea of marrying women for money and just sitting and being supported, it just breeds a certain dependence that's not healthy. It breeds a certain dependence. We're supposed to be Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. We're supposed to only have to answer to one master, the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're supposed to be self-sufficient and productive and be able to support yourself and not have to rely on other people too, because what's going to be with the next generation, especially in the yeshivish world? I don't understand that. I think, again, I'm not happy about it. I think now the system is beginning to unravel, because if you had everybody getting married on the father-in-law's money, but then the next generation's all, the money's got to run out at some point in time. If the second generation is living on the first generation's money, who's supporting the third generation? So I think now you're finding much more in the Haredi circles, I think you're finding it's becoming much more acceptable for people to actually earn a living. It's not like lichatchila, if you're, you know, lichatchila, then b'diavad, you have to go work. I think people are realizing that it's not like that anymore, because you just, right? I think I have a whole nother shmooze about this. All the, you know, many of the Tanaim and Amoraim had a little work on the side. The Rambam writes, right, you're supposed to learn 9 hours a day and work 3 hours a day, right? We talked about that. But 3 hours a day, you're supposed to, okay. So Rabbi Yehuda likes to say, okay, at least for us, we do the reverse. At least we should be working 9 and learning 3. At least that. But that you're supposed to get a parnasa. So I think this marrying women for money is unhealthy. It's not me. The Gemara says it. You don't have to worry about me. But I think the Gemara says unhealthy. Again, even if you tell me it's not because you're worried about the Taivas HaMamon, but I still think that it's... I'm extrapolating a little bit. It's not exactly honest. The Gemara says you marry one for the money means because you have a taiva for money. But that's Pashup Shalom, what the Gemara means. But I think it's not such a big jump to say that even if you just want to sit and learn for the rest of your life and be supported by somebody else, be supported by the tzibur's money, be supported by your father-in-law's money, I think that that it breeds a sense of dependency, and it breeds a sense of you have everything coming to you, and you don't have to have an obligation to work. Again, Yechidei Segula should be supported by the community. Persons who are Rav, Rabbanim, who need to be supported by the community. That you know, he's going to dedicate his life to learning, to be a Jewish leader, to be able to be Marbitz Torah, to be a Talmud Chacham. So those things, again, is a tricky line, but that's my Rabbeim. That's why I think that the way YU does it, Lamashal, that you only sit and learn in smicha for X amount of years, and only the Yechidei Segula, there's 15, 20, 25 guys who are mamish, the top guys, they get to be paid long term to sit and learn. I think that makes sense, you know, because they're the Yechidei Segula. They're the people who are going to be the Malamdim and the Talmid Chachamim and the Rabbanim. And even that's only for X amount of years. At some point in time, you know, it's time to give back to the community. So I think that that makes sense. So hopefully we went through a few of the general outlines. Obviously, in 20 minutes, you can't do justice to the whole thing. A lot of things come up. And what about this? And what about that? What about this case? It's a little complicated, right? The Gemara says, M'sachim kosha zivugan kekriyas yamsuf. That is difficult, like kriyas yamsuf. It's complicated. Shidduch process. Sometimes you get lucky. It's simple. You get lucky when it's simple, but usually it's complicated. But hopefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless all of us with the wisdom to be able to find the right person, to be able to find the right person who's going to be able to allow you to have a life of simcha, of joy, a life of continuous growth in your own ruchnius, because that's what life's about. Life is about continuous growth in your own ruchnius. And the wife plays a very, very important role, so we should all have atzlacha in our various searches at the right time. At the right time. That was another shmooze. When is it the right time? Another shmooze. You got to listen to it on YU Torah. We're not going to...